All right, family, my name is Victor. I'm a blessed recovering addict. First thing first, I want to thank God, and I want to thank everybody in this room for my recovery. Could we have a moment of silence so I could tune out and God could tune in? Thank you. Welcome to the newcomer series. Would people with a year or less please stand up? Stand back up. I want to let y'all say welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. This program works. Your guys are the most important person at any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. So are y'all ready to receive what I have to give y'all? Right, let's get it going. I got a question and I need a little help with this question. Would it be insane to drive from Atlanta 12 hours, come up to Maryland for a program that don't work? Today I have 7,500 days, all right? And what I have in common with you guys that stood up, I started with one day, right? And it continued. So that's 20 years, 6 months, and 12 days clean, right? They said this is a program for learning, right? And then our 12th step, and it works high and wide, says each individual has their own unique way for carrying this message. So I can only give it to you the way it was given to me and what God gave me to give y'all, all right? Because I had to spend some time out by the water yesterday to get my thoughts together. And earlier, two of my sponsees prayed for me because it's important. I have a responsibility when I stand behind this podium or any meeting, right, to give you all the proper information. Because what's been happening, a lot of misinformation has been going on with the literature, right? And a lot of old times been using. 2 years ago, sister had 22 years, she picked up. Last week I found out brother had 19 years, he picked up, right? They said if we stay in the basics, we never have to leave them. So what you do now in this first year might determine if you're going to be here 20 years down the line. Because when I first got clean, they used to tell us, come early, stay late, sit up front, look the speaker in the mouth, take the cotton out of one ear and leave it in the other so what you hear won't escape. And old school, I mean heroin addicts, when I first got clean, it was heroin addicts and they was rough. It was telling people, shut the fuck up. You don't know anything about staying clean. I said, you ain't gonna have a problem out of me. You know what I mean? And they didn't. You know, but I wanna read something, right? Because this workshop is people, places, and things, right? It says, when we are born, we are conscious only of ourselves. We are the universe. We perceive little other than our own basic needs. And if these needs are met, we are content. As our consciousness expands, we become aware of a world outside of ourselves. We discover that there are people, places, and things around us, and that they fulfill our needs. At this point, we also begin to recognize differences and develop preferences. We learn to want and choose. We are the center of a growing universe and expect to be provided with the things we need and want. Our source of contentment shifts from basic needs miraculously met to fulfillment of our desires. Most children through experience over a period of time come to realize that the outside world cannot provide all their wants and needs. They begin to supplement what is given to them with their own effort. As their dependency on people, places, and things decrease, they begin to look at themselves more and more. They become more self-sufficient in learning that happiness and contentment comes from within. Happiness and contentment comes from within. Most continue to mature. They recognize and accept their strengths, weakness, and limitations. At some point, they usually see the help of a power greater than themselves to provide the things they cannot provide for themselves. For most people, growing up is a natural process. I don't know about any of y'all. Listen, I was an addict long before I picked up. I used to hear that back in the day, but I don't hear that anymore. As a kid, when I was going to elementary school, I had to go in a candy store. So the man used to turn his back. So when he turned his back, I'll stick some candy in my pocket, right? So I got away with it that time. So when he turned his back the next time, it was some gum and some candy. So the disease started to progress. I grew up in a house of alcoholics. They used to have rent parties back in that day. They used to call them rent parties where they'd start playing poker on Thursday, right? And they wouldn't finish the Monday morning. So they would leave the alcohol laying around. So I would start picking up the drinks and drinking them while, you know, the part of the cleanup crew. So that started my addiction. My addiction started long before I picked up. I got messages from my mother that you ain't shit. You ain't never gonna be shit. I cursed the day you was born. You know, you just like your father. So I didn't know that that hurt my spirit. So being that they hurt my spirit, I went looking for those people to get into those things to help me get outside of myself. I started getting high when I was 13. I never got high in my life, but that's what the kids on the block was doing. So we would get high and we would play the dozens. I don't know if anybody know about playing the dozens, you know. So we would drink wine and, you know, smoke weed and talk about, it would get serious, right? We were talking about cracking jokes, but when you got to the mama part, you know, you might have to have a fight. But listen, it's very important, right, when you come in here to listen to the more experienced member. Some of us still care about your newcomers, right? And some of us still have a love for this program.
Keep going.
So listen, if you're here, just know that God got a purpose in your life. So you got to learn, you got to get around those people that's doing those things so you can get the freedom that you need. Because it's all about being free. Because I haven't had got high in 20 years, but I'm still locked up in a prison in my own mind. Last year, I was fortunate to come here and do a workshop last year, and some stuff was going on, and the saga continues. You know, they said that broader the base, the higher point of freedom, right? This brother I met in Kentucky submitted my name to do this workshop, right? So my thinking tells me I don't have nothing to say. But I got a lot of information, 20 years worth of information. 2 years ago, I was asked to do a workshop in where I live at in Atlanta called No Matter What. And my thinking tells me, you can't share on that. You don't have no matter what. That's crazy. 20 years and I didn't use No Matter What. You know what I'm saying? There's a club that you don't have to sign up for. You just have to have it in your heart. And it's called a No Matter What club. You know what I mean? No matter what, you don't have to use, right? Something else in the literature. I'm an advocate for the literature because you can't go wrong with it, right? It says, this is, what I read the first is out of the triangle self-obsession. This other thing I'm reading is out of It Works High and Wide. We were searching for an answer. We were searching for an answer. When we reached out and found Narcotics Anonymous, we came to our first meeting in defeat and didn't know what to expect. After sitting in a meeting or several meetings, we began to feel that people cared and were willing to help. Although our minds told us that we would never make it, the people in the fellowship gave us hope by insisting that we could recover. We found that no matter what our past thoughts or actions were, others had felt and done the same. Surrounded by fellow addicts, we realized we were not alone anymore. Recovery is what happens in our meetings. Our lives are at stake. We find that by putting recovery first, the program works. We face three disturbing realizations. One, we are powerless over our addiction and our lives are unmanageable. Two, although we are not responsible for our disease, we are responsible for our recovery. Three, we can no longer blame people, places, and things, our addiction. We must face our problems and our feelings. See, the steps give us the ability to survive our emotions. Because the longer you stay here, the more you're going to feel. If you knew, I don't know, we develop a sense of survival. Because they talk about when we go to the animalistic level, we had to survive the streets, so we had to cut off our feelings. But when you come in here and you start to feel, right, they used to say we wake up from the waist down first. And that still goes on. You know, it's like, damn, it still works. Right? And then, the last part, right, it says, the ultimate weapon for recovery is a recovering addict. We concentrate on recovery and feelings, not what we have done in the past. Old friends, places, and old places and ideas are often a threat to our recovery. We need to change our playmates, playgrounds, playthings. That means every damn thing. Sometimes that means your family. You can't go to that family reunion and they drinking and you sitting there just trying to tough it out to show them that you can handle it. No, get your ass up and leave. Call somebody and say, look, come get me. I'm feeling uncomfortable. You know, what's going on with me right now in my life, right? Last year when I came here, I had gotten involved with a newcomer, right? 20 years clean, I mean 19 years at the time, right? At the time, she was my grand sponsee. So I had just broke up with my lady 3 months down the line, and she was young, younger than I was, and I liked the attention, you know what I mean? Because I'm sitting home, going through the feelings, I'm saying, well, God, you know, I've been here before, so I'm going to just sit here with these feelings and let you do what you do. But I listened to some other people, man, you need to come to the functions, get outside the house. So I went, I got outside the house, she asked me for my number. At first, it was recovery, I'm talking about recovery. Then it shifted. You know what I'm saying? It shifted. Right? So I like the attention, right? Because in some way, fashion, form, or I still suffer with low self-esteem to a certain degree, even though I did work on myself, right? So we was doing what we do, right? She got pregnant. So my youngest daughter at the time was 16, so I was afraid. It was like, shit, that baby ain't mine. You was fucking homeboy too. He was another grand sponsee, right? So I had to implement the people, places, and things because I learned some things from being here. I had to get to tell somebody, get honest about what was going on, right, to free myself and do some things to come up out of it. So what I did, right, I prayed and I asked God to get me up out of it because I was obsessed. You know, I was obsessed on it, and then God got me out of it. But you know what happened? Ego man showed up and I got right back into it. That's how she wound up pregnant. Homeboy went over there and slept with her, and then she called me the next morning and said, hey, he ain't do it like you did it. And it was like, oh yeah, I'll be right over. You know, went over there, you know, and did what we did. She got pregnant, I got scared, I wanted to run. And be honest with you, I treated it bad for the first few months, right? So, I said, well, if this baby turned out to be mine, I'm gonna be hurt because I treated her bad. So I tried to do the right thing by, you know, trying to do the right thing by her and the child, right? Because before I got to Narcotics Anonymous, my daughter died May 28th, 1987. I got clean September 30th, 1987. And I had so much shit going on with those 3 months, the guilt to see my baby laying here dead, and I thought I did it, right? So I said, I don't want to have that guilty feeling if the baby turns out to be mine. Well, anyway, January 16th, she was going into labor. So she called me, said she's going into labor. She said she didn't want me to come up there. So I talked to some people. They said, well, you need to go up there. I went up there, and she asked me to leave, right? So she was there with her girlfriend. You know what I mean? So not a girlfriend like, you know, it was her girlfriend. You know what I'm saying? So she asked me, yeah, she's bisexual, put it that way. All right. So she was up with it. And she was snapping pictures, right? So I take my little camera out to take the picture. She said, I don't like the way you looked at me. Get out. So I had to leave, right? So I'm standing in the hallway. I'm feeling all this stuff, right? So I said, let me go in the lobby and come back because they didn't want me standing in the hallway. So I went back. And then she said, you know, the baby, it's a beautiful girl. She looks just like you. Don't let your ego get in the way. I said, my ego's not going to get in the way. I said, you got to deal with your own spirit. And that must have did something to her. She said, get the fuck out. Get the fuck out. So I had to leave, and I had to deal with that. And up until this point, I hadn't seen the baby. She won't let me see the baby, right? So I was in a meeting last week, so I was learning how to trust this spirit that God, that I've been working on. I was going to one meeting. My spirit said, no, go to this other meeting. She was there with the baby, right? So I didn't want to disrupt the meeting, but I'm sitting there, I'm feeling all this stuff. You know, so I went and I tapped on her, said, can I hold the baby? She looked at me like my head was like cut off, right? And then She said, come outside. She said, you ain't did shit for this baby. I said, I know that. She said, well, you do what you got to do. You file paternity. So I went back and had a seat in the meeting, but I'm still feeling that, right? All right, I just finished a fast, right? I practiced some spiritual disciplines that I learned since being there. I was doing a fast, right? So when I got to the end of the fast, somebody could bring me some news that my ex is fucking my sponsee. So I had to, again, use the people, the places, and do the things that what I know to do, right? I confronted him. He said, let's sit down and talk. And we started talking, and he was talking about, man, you know me and you boys, they ain't nothing like that. I ain't fuck her yet. I'm just using her to get information because I want to get into the field that she's in. And then I'm listening to all that. He said, well, but if she keep pressing me, then I'm not going to tell you that I ain't going to fuck her. And I had to soak all that in, right? So me and his ex start talking because she was telling me what was going on, panties been hitting under the bed and all types of crazy shit, you know? So I had to take all that in. And then he called me up, yo, son, what you doing, man? That's some bitch shit you doing. Why you had to tell us something that's going to hurt? I said, man, we was consoling each other because of the shit that y'all did, right? But it was like karma coming back around, you know what I'm saying? Because I messed with my grand sponsee. So karma don't feel good when it comes back around. So you have to learn how to do the things, right? Work with the people, places, and things to get the information, right? Because they used to tell us to build a foundation on rock and not sand. And you know, I had to pray for them. You know, it works. To pray for your enemies, I ain't never believe that shit. Pray for your enemies. But you know what? It works. I got some relief out of it. But my mind, when he did that, I was so hurt. I had to go spend time with my sponsor, right? My sponsor has 26 years clean. I went there, had to go sit and talk with him. He showed me some stuff in the basic tech. He said, man, don't put nothing past anybody in this room. We're capable of doing anything. You know what I mean? But there's some boundaries I'm not going to cross. If I call you my man, or we broke bread together, and you slept in my bed, I'm not going to go after something that you had. You know what I'm saying? A woman that you had. Because, excuse my vulgarness, but I'm going to tell you like it is. It's enough pussy, man, that you ain't have to go fuck with her. You know what I'm saying? Because it hurts. It hurts. But I guess that's the hurt that the sister felt that came back around. But you know what? What goes around comes around. But listen, you're newcomers. Y'all got to stay here and get the information. There's a lot of stuff in this fellowship that's changed. The tough love that we used to get, that I know that it might not be appropriate this time, but sometimes it's appropriate. You know, I know that I don't know what the fuck they're putting in these drugs today, but people can't sit still. They got cell phones. You know, I'm guilty of the cell phone thing, but it's like they're like, choo, 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 right? And sometimes I have to close my eyes and focus and get focused, right? Because even with 20 years, man, my mind still wanders. Like when I found out the information, he told me that, right? He told me about, yo, what you doing, man? That's some bitch shit, man. You need to get your nuts back. My thinking said, yo, he wanted in another county. Go down to the precinct and give him his address. 20 years clean. And I had to tell somebody that because I was going to go down there and say, this is his address and this is his apartment number. And my sponsor, he said, that ain't right. You know, you be doing the same thing. What kind of principles you working with? Because you be hurting them. But you know something? God got it. You know what I'm saying? God gonna handle the situation about the baby. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't like the courts. You know, I can go down there and file paternity and all that. You know what I mean? But I'm a praying man. I ain't no saint. You know, my sponsor told me, right? She felt like I raped one of her daughters when I had sex with my grand sponsee. But I was acting off of a feeling. Feelings pass. You know what I'm saying? You get a feeling. Don't just run out and just do anything because you got a feeling. Because it's going to pass. And you're going to have many, many feelings. In this book it says, the steps give us the ability to survive our emotions. Right? I was also said that what I can't do alone, we can do together. I have a gift for everybody in this room. And I need y'all to help me out. All right. Everybody close your eyes. The gift is silence. How much silence do you give yourself? Right? I was reading this book and it talks about we take care of our cars, we take care of the outside of our bodies, but how do we take care of our spirits? I make it a habit of getting up in the morning before I speak to anybody and check in with God. I have a meditation room in my house. I don't always go to it, but these things, right, these people told me about these things to do, and my sponsor is an advocate of prayer and meditation. And I'm telling you, it works. And how I started practicing it, I was at in New York, we have they call it Freedom, the convention. So I started seeing this guy sitting on the floor. He was closing his eyes and asking what he was doing. He said it was too noisy, so he had to quiet his mind. Sometimes we had to quiet our mind because I'm trapped inside of a body with a mind I can't trust. And they tell me to do things that I'll deal with the consequences later. But the consequences might be too great. All right, I'm gonna shut it down. My home group is called Hardcore. We meet on Saturdays at 1 o'clock. We have an open discussion meeting, and we have a step meeting. I'm in the step meeting every week, sometimes twice a week, with 20 years. I'm finding it's a need that's more a need for tradition meetings, because people getting in the service don't know anything about the traditions. And it's causing a lot of chaos, you know. So I'm going to give you all my number. If you're in Atlanta, call me. If I'm not there, I'll put you in touch with somebody that can show you where to go. My telephone number is 678-887-8033. My name is Victor. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Experience, strength, and hope. Whew. Man. Well, first of all, I'm going to do this right out the way. My man Victor done here and got you all the technical aspects out of the book that I had spent a week and a half trying to find and wrote down on this paper. So that's gone. So now I can get rid of all the bullshit and just give it to you the way I got it.
Okay.
I was told by a predecessor, man, my only responsibility to deliver a clear and concise message of Narcotics Anonymous. And by doing that, the only way I can do it is by my experience, strength, and hope. And that's all I got. And I know if I keep it that way and keep it honest, I can't go wrong. People, places, and things. Whew. It's weird, man. All these people, I was looking at the program schedule and I saw some of the other meetings they had this time slot. And I said, man, ain't going to be a whole lot of people in there. They got looking for love in all the wrong places. Going at the same time. I guess they kicked half y'all out of there and y'all came over here. But I know my story. If I'm listening to some of Victor's story, we both probably could have done that meeting just as well. Man. When I came around here, man, basically I felt like a piece of shit. Had no self-esteem, even though at the time, that's only through a little bit of step work I found there any self-esteem. I thought my esteem was way too high. No matter what I was doing or where I was at, like it says in our literature, man, everything revolved around me. And I didn't care who I stepped on, what I stepped on, to do what I had to do, but I did it. And at some point, I got tired of living like that. And doing the things that I was doing was no longer okay. And noticed the newcomer series, man, and I love doing, you know, I take one of my commitments, the H&I commitment out in Annapolis, Maryland, and I take a meeting to a treatment center, man, and I love doing that because all I got to do is keep it simple, you know what I mean? And that's what this workshop is about, man. It's a newcomer series, you know, and that's where I'm more comfortable. I always say, man, I got three kids. I got a 12-year-old daughter, a 4-year-old daughter, and a 2-year-old son. And I swear to God, I relate more with them than I do with any adult. And I'm just as happy on the playground playing with them than I am. You know, I'm more comfortable there than I am at work with people my own age. You know what I mean? And I don't know if that shows lack of growth or what it showed, but that's where it is, and it is what it is. You know what I mean? And I'm more comfortable, you know, being a little kid and doing those type of things, man. And I think the reason that, because of that is I can be me, and I can keep it simple, man. And that's what I'm going to try to do with this topic. When I first came around here, man, I wanted to stop smoking crack. And just a quick, I don't think I need to qualify myself to be here. The only reason I need to be here is because I think I desire, you know what I mean, to stop using drugs and alcohol, man, and that's why I'm here. But I did smoke crack every day for a lot of days, you know what I mean? And it didn't start out that way. It ended that way. You know, the alcohol, the beer, you know, the PCP on occasion, the acid on occasion. See, when we use acid or PCP, we always made sure that we had nowhere to be, nothing to do, and nowhere to go. Wherever the wind blew, whatever a car accidentally got into, whatever. I don't know if anybody smoked Love Boat or dropped any acid, man, but it's kind of just like you just went wherever you kind of went. And that's what I did. And back then it was fun, man. You know what I mean? My drug use, I had a lot of good times and a lot of fun. At the end, I was sitting in my own townhouse, smoking crack for 3 or 4 days, with the living room couch against the front door, the dining room table against the basement door. My TV on, no volume, because I knew somebody was coming. And 4 o'clock in the morning, going, moving my couch out of my front door, going out in my street, looking up and down the street, seeing who lights was on, make sure wasn't nobody up so I could steal my own TV out of my house and put it in my truck. I don't know about you, but that wasn't fun. And I decided I need to do something, man. I need to tell you also, this is my first time in this fellowship. I came in this fellowship in 1995. Was graced to be able to stay here for a little over 4.5 years. And, you know, for all the newcomers, I say this because, you know, a lot of times, I know I do, and I still do it, because I like to personalize stuff, man. When I get close to people in this fellowship, man, and they use, man, you know, it hurts.
Yeah.
You know, because I remember, you know, when I did it, you know what I mean? It was a conscious choice, man, you know what I mean? Don't make no mistakes about it. It wasn't because of the girlfriend. It wasn't because of the job. It wasn't because my dog died. I wanted to get high. And that's what I chose to do. My clean time kept me going for about 10 months. I had stopped going to meetings. I had stopped talking to my sponsor. I was no longer fellowshipping. I stayed clean on my own for about 10 months, just on my clean time alone. I really, really wasn't sure I wanted to give it up. This goes back to the topic, man, because they tell you, you know, when you come around here, my sponsor, my first time around here, man, I asked, you know, what do I need to do, man? You know, and the first thing he told me, the first and foremost, don't put that shit in you. Don't pick it up. Then he told me I had to change some things. Assuming he was talking about the people, places, and things. I mean, I knew I couldn't hang around the drug dealers. I knew I couldn't go down West Baltimore no more. And the thing piece, I ain't know what understood that. What that mean? Don't go to the gas station and buy no motherfucking stamps. I ain't know what that meant, right? But I knew that I had to change some things. And he just said, man, you got to change everything.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people come around here and they talk about, well, they brainwashing you in that fellowship. God damn, man, my brain needed washed. You know? And let me get this clear off the top, too. All these little slogans and things I'm saying, I ain't make none of this shit up, man. And I don't know anything original with Narcotics Anonymous. My man been around here 20-some years. I've been around here for 5 years, and I ain't heard shit original. Somebody done said something. I heard that shit somewhere else. I'm not, what's that thing they put at the bottom of the page whenever you quote something when you write the thing in school? I ain't gonna give nobody no credit. I don't know who the hell it was, but it was somebody. But then you got to change, man. And I knew that. This topic for me, like sister just said, it's all about change. You know what I mean? That's all this fellowship is about to me. You know what I mean? Once I came in here and realized, see, if they'd have told me that shit, that it wasn't about the drugs, you know, when I first got here, I would have stayed here. You know what I mean? Because I came in to stop smoking crack. I ain't come here to start being nice and not punching motherfuckers in the mouth and not cussing you out when I thought you did something wrong. I ain't come here for all that. You know what I mean? I came here because I wanted to stop smoking coke, man, and living the way that I was living, and feeling the emptiness that I felt inside, man. There's work involved in all this stuff. It says in our literature, man, you know, they talk about, you know, God's will and you know, what is it? You know, mean, and I still don't know what God's will is for me, man, but I sure know what it's not. You know what I mean? And that means I need to be honest, be kind as much as possible, man, and try to do the next right thing. You know? And in the process of that, man, by doing these things, I begin to change. You know what I mean? My clean day is January 28th, 2003.
Okay.
And, so I've been back around here for a little over 5 years. My past anniversary was kind of big to me, like I told you before. I had just missed my 5th year anniversary the first time. And one of the things that relapse did for me, you know, it says in our literature again, man, you know, it brought about a more vigorous application of this program, man. And everything I do in my life comes from that basic text, my sponsor, and my network. Because I'm scared to do something wrong, man. I really am. You know what I'm saying? I'm scared to be back down West Baltimore and need somebody broken-ass porch smoking crack again, man. Because I don't know if I'm coming back out of that hole, man. And, as much chaos as I got in my life, and like Victor was saying, man, the majority of my chaos comes from failed relationships. And but what I've learned to do through all that stuff, man, is to look at what I'm doing. You know, it said in a little piece that he read, man, about, you know, one of the realizations we come to when we come into this fellowship, man, and learn, you know, once we begin that first step and allow ourselves, you know, admit that we're powerless, that, you know, that my life is unmanageable, which for me, I did that one in kind of reverse order, you know. It was very, very obvious to me that my life was unmanageable. They was getting ready to come take my Explorer. They was getting ready to change the locks on my townhouse. I no longer had a job. I couldn't take care of my kid. I mean, I ain't really need to hit my head on that wall too many times to realize my shit was unmanageable. That was powerless over them drugs. It was a different story. You know what I mean? Every day when I was driving down 95, see, I worked out in Howard County. If any of y'all are familiar with Maryland, I worked in Columbia, lived in Baltimore, and worked in a bar. And every night, 3 o'clock in the morning, with a pocket full of money that I had in my pocket, I always told myself, I'm going home. I'm gonna go down 95, I'm gonna make a right on Caton Avenue, and I'm going home. I always end up down West Baltimore on Catherine Street, man. Every damn night. And what I learned also, you know, see, my story is my story, man, and the only thing that I gotta go on is my experience, you know what I'm saying? And I know the things that I did, the shit that I told myself, you know what I mean? And I know that those things no longer work. Talk about the people, places, and things. Like I said, the people and places thing was easy for me, man. You know what I mean? I had to stop hanging around individuals I hung around. And that shit go for this fellowship just as well. You know what I mean? Just because somebody claims themselves to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous don't mean you need to be hanging out with them all the time. You know what I mean? Everybody here ain't for the same reason. You know what I mean? And I've learned that as well, man. That's why, you know, I'm going to get my information from where I'm going to get it from. You know what I mean? And if I'm sick, I'm going to the doctor. You know what I mean? I had relationship problems real bad. I don't mean to put my sponsor out there, you know, but he divorced, you know, so there's limited information I can get from him, you know. That's why I have a network, and I get my information from other areas of my network, you know. And I'm not going to go to somebody who, in the midst of a bunch of chaos, to try to sort out the chaos in my life, you know. What I have known is that I can love people from a distance, man, and that's been a process as well. I don't need to fix everybody all the time. And it's not my job. You know what I mean? It's not. You know, it says to carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm not carrying the act. And a lot of people got different variations on that subject, man. But I know that somebody will make me sick, man, before I get them better, man. And my recovery means more to me to allow that to happen.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to allow myself to be put in a situation that I'm uncomfortable. Like I told you before, man, I got enough going on in my life, man. I need all the help I can get, you know. And I go to the people that I know can help me, you know what I'm saying? Like I told you, I'm scared to make decisions around here, man, without consulting with people, man. When I changed jobs, when I moved, you know, I got clean in the West Side, man. I grew up out in Columbia. That's where I got clean at. Job opportunity came down to Barrier, Maryland, and I was moving down. Man, I didn't take that job without asking 3 or 4 people, man. I called my sponsor, man. I called my sponsor when my... Do I leave her, man? Do I get the hell out of here and leave my son? You know, I'm just scared to make decisions on my own, man. And, you know, that comes from the thing piece for me. See, the thing piece for me on that topic, like I told you, I didn't know what the hell that was. You know what I mean? Trinkets, stuff like that. You know, what do you mean I got to drive a different car? You know, I didn't know. What I've come to learn is my ideas and my way of thinking, man, for me. And for me, that's the only way I'm going to stay around here and grow. You know, I've got to learn how Denny can get better. This fellowship is the only thing that's ever taught me how to do any of that stuff. Man, I was never even able to look at none of my so-called defects of character. That shit wasn't a defect. You know, my aggression and my anger saved my ass. I don't know about you. You know? That stuff to me was a character asset. The motherfucker, he hit me. I hit him in his mouth back. Bet you he won't hit me again. I'm going to walk away. The motherfucker be hitting me every day. You know? Until I got 2 assault charges and got put in central booking jail down Annapolis for second-degree assault, and they took my bail from me. All the drug charges I had and all the shit, all the places I robbed, and I get no bail on a second-degree assault. My sponsor told me, he said, dang, he said, there's other laws other than possession of narcotics. My punk ass was in there crying for 3 or 4 days.
Like, man, every other time I been in jail, man, I deserve, I belong. I don't belong here now, man.
That shit fucked me up. I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't know this addict. I got a hard head, man. I need to bump my head on the wall a couple times, man, sometimes. And that was it. I'm gonna put my hands on nobody else. I'll pay somebody $50 to hit somebody in the mouth for them. I ain't putting my hands on you. That don't mean when I walk out this door, y'all don't come through my pockets and all that shit. I got some friends in here. But, man, I don't know, man. This process, man, it's just incredible, man. Because I've been able to identify some things, man, you know, about myself, man, that I enjoy, man. You know, I'm thinking about when I get done this meet, man, going to get my fishing rod out of my trunk, sitting out in the rain on that back of that pier back there and fishing for a couple hours. I don't care if it's raining. You know what I mean? And, that's coming to find about Denny. I like golf, man. You know what I mean? Like I said, I like playing with my kids at the playground. You know, I like...
That's right.
My oldest daughter, 12 years old.
Right. Okay.
And every time I talk about her, man, I get emotional because I was clean when she was born. And when she was about 4 or 5, I picked up again, man. And I took her through a little bit of that with me. The days, man, dropping her off, man, I was supposed to have her, and my sister was a basketball coach at a community college down in Baltimore, man, and I used to just take her to the back door, open my truck door, man, tell her to go in there with your aunt, and, you know, I left my daughter alone by herself one night, man, to go use, and did some shit that I said I would never do, but she's growing up now, man, like I said, she'll be 12 in May, and I'm a big sports person, man. I love sports. The fact that she loves sports just as much as I do. I don't know if because she knows it makes me happy or she truly enjoys it. Either which way, man, she participates in it, watches it with me, goes to games with me, man. But to watch her play sports, man, is... I feel like a little kid when I watch her play, man. She's fairly decent, too, man. And, she plays basketball and softball. And one of the biggest blessings I got there, man, other than the day that I actually turned... This is not a religious program. This is just for me. Other than the day that I turned my life over to care of my God as I understood him, one of the most joyful days I remember, man, you know, was watching her at a softball game, man, and hitting a home run the last inning to win a softball game. And, man, I was jumping up and down like it was my team. I had tears coming down my face, man. And the feeling that I got from that, man, never, ever experienced that feeling smoking crack, man, or hanging on them streets, man. And I wanted to hold on to that. I wanted to do that shit every game, man, so I could feel that shit. You know what I'm saying? And I still be looking forward, man. Like, you're going to hit this shit, ain't you? All these things I'm talking about, man, direct result. I'm coming around here, man, and changing some shit in my life, taking some direction. You know, they say in this program, the suggestions, I don't believe no damn suggestions. For the newcomers, man, there's shit around here you must do if you're going to stay around here and stay clean. First one is, you can't use drugs.
Right.
This program works, but it works a hell of a lot better if you clean.
Right.
Come around here and pick up 30-some white tags in a row if you want. You're going to miss something. You know, and hopefully you'll be around to pick up that next one. We die in this fellowship, man. We die from this disease. And it's really not a joke. We come around here and laugh and have a good time, man, and I do it the most. We sit outside my home group after the meeting. Sometimes we don't make it to after the meeting. Sometimes we sit in our home group and cut up. That's another story, but we have a good time, man. And we first got here, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that for me. You know, you've got to get clean. You've got to put down the drugs and the alcohol, man. Give yourself a chance to allow this program to work in your life, man. You know, I get tired of hearing motherfuckers talking about, well, I did this and I did that, and goddamn, man, you ain't even give this shit a chance to work. You know what I mean? You don't just come into this room. Come to an 8 o'clock meeting at 8:10. Leave it ends at 9 o'clock. At 8:55, you're out the door. Ain't talking, ain't do nothing. Talking about, I've been coming to meetings for 2 months, man. This shit don't work for me. Come early, man. Let somebody know I'm a newcomer. You know what I mean? I'm just coming into the fellowship. You know, my name is such and such. You know, get some numbers, man. Stay after the meeting and talk to the people, man. You know what I'm saying? I know it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me. I got 5 years clean, and when I'm in a new area, man, I still got problems putting my hand out to somebody, you know, and talking to them. But it's something that you got to do, you know. I don't know about you, but when I got high down Catherine Street in West Baltimore this last time. That was my spot. They had the shit that I liked, and that's where I went. But I'll be damned, the police wasn't out there. If I wasn't going up north in Utah, some other place down Walbrook Junction or something to get my coke. And if I ain't know where the coke was in that neighborhood, I was going to ask somebody. I just don't get the pride of coming around here and being afraid to ask for help.
Right, right.
It's uncomfortable. I understand that. It was uncomfortable for me. You know what I mean? But there's thousands and thousands of addicts. Like my man said, it started with one day. That's all we got. You know what I mean? We all came from that. And the only reason we were able to stay around here to get the time that we got is because we did the things that we did to get what we got.
Right.
You got to go to meetings. You got to get a sponsor. You can come around here and stay clean without a sponsor. You can come around here and stay clean going to meetings. You can come around here and get a job going to meetings, go back to school. From my experience, don't get a sponsor, don't work no steps, you're going to be a crazy motherfucker. And that's from experience. You know, I've been stuck on my sixth step now for a while, but the thing is, which is kind of procrastination on my part, but I always justify that shit because I feel like I'm always working some steps. You know what I mean? And I might not be actually writing it, but I'm working it. Because I look at myself and I realize the things that I'm doing in my life, man, and I work on. I know it's on one of them steps somewhere. I just ain't got to it yet. But steps help you grow, man. You know, and the reason that I told you that I had 4 years and 10 months clean, man, and chose to use again, I didn't change a whole lot about myself, man. I was going to meetings. I did this convention back in 2000, I think, 99. And I ain't changed shit. I was still stealing from people. I was still lying. I was still the same Denny, man. I was just happy being clean, man, you know? And got me back into a crack pipe. This time, man, I like to take the suggestions, man, and do some work. Change some of my attitudes and beliefs, man. Change the people, places, and things in my life, man, that aren't no good for me. And sometimes, like my man said, it's family members. For me, that's not the case, man. My family is loving and supporting, man. Put up with my stupid ass. I'm 38 years old, man. Put up with my ass for a lot of years. Sometimes I feel bad, man, because my sister, 2 years younger than me, man, she got a master's degree. She a counselor in high school, been All-American in basketball, been doing the shit she's supposed to be doing her whole life. And I get 5 years clean, and the whole family won't go out to dinner. Talk about feeling less than and unworthy, man. I'm like, y'all should be giving a party for her. You know what I mean? And my mom brought this little card and had this. My mom, anybody know my mother? My mother crazy. She had this whole thing written out about it was like a, what's the thing they do when they joke on somebody on stage? A roast. Yeah, but this wasn't a roast. This was like a toast. I thought the second coming of God was, you know what I mean? I thought I had, and I'm just looking at my sister, man. I'm just like, I had to cut her off. I said, look, I feel unworthy a lot of times, man, and still feel less than a lot of times. And I'm also embarrassed by the way that my life had been. I feel like I should have been doing this the whole time, you know. And I'm blessed to have the family that I have, you know what I'm saying? Took care of my kids when I couldn't take care of them. And I just recently, I'm going to say this and shut this down, man. I just recently got out of another failed relationship with another child involved, and this is why it is necessary to have a sponsor that you trust and love, and to have a network in this fellowship that you trust and love, man, because my crazy ass, I'm gonna tell you what I was about ready to do. Y'all gonna laugh like shit. I paid 2 child supports already. Me and my son's mother getting ready to split up, and I want to be responsible and take care of my son financially as much as I can. I make good money on my job, but with all the child support and the rent I pay and all that other stuff, if I want to eat still, I got to do something else, basically what it was. Something had to give somewhere, and I had this brilliant idea that if I lived out of my car for a year, took that $1,200, gave my son's mother $400 of it. That's $800 I'm going to have. I can put $500 of that in the bank. If I do that for a year, I have about $6,000 in the bank. Pay the child, so everything be paid off, and I still have a little something for myself. All I got to do is live in my car. And, I do maintenance for an apartment complex, so it really wasn't like I was always going to be in my car. We always got some vacant apartments that I could probably creep into, you know what I mean? We got cold or whatever, but I was serious, man. You know what I mean? I was looking at it as a, what's that shit? Oh, sacrifice. I can sacrifice for my kids. And I'm telling people this shit like, damn, Danny, you spiritual, man. That's what happened when I talk to myself and tell myself a whole bunch of shit. But like I told you, thank God I opened my mouth and started telling some people. I think my mother put it best. She said, what are you, crazy? My sponsor, Donnie, said, you sure that's a good idea? My sister told me, you out of your fucking mind. Bring your shit down to my house and come stay with me and we'll work something out. And, she told me, as long as you're doing what you keep on doing and trying to do the right thing, you're more than welcome to come stay with me. It's the same sister who, for a lot of years, man, carried my ass, especially with my kids, man. And I've always, even though she's my younger sister, I've always looked for her respect. See, my name's Denny, right? And I don't know if any of y'all from around this area, but Lynn Bias passed away in about, I don't know, 80-something from cocaine overdose. And a lot of my sister's friends, she went to a different high school than I did. And at the time, I thought it was funny, but it really wasn't, and it hurt her a lot. They used to call me Lenny. Her friends did. You know, how Lenny doing? And she carried that shit for a long time, man. She was ashamed a little bit of me, man. You know, and younger, she had always been, I was a big basketball player, was always involved in a lot of sports and was good. And I think that shift in looking up to being kind of ashamed of was tough on her, man. And we've had our differences, man, through the years, especially through my addiction, man. But for her to open her house up to me, man, and allow me to stay there with all my kids, it's truly a blessing, man. But for the newcomer, man, before I wrap this up, I just want to let you know, this program, just like the title of this weekend is, you know, One Promise and Many Gifts. One promise is freedom from active addiction. The many gifts are whatever you get. Because you can get whatever you want. They, people say this all the time, man, that if in your first few months or so or first year of recovery, you write down, you know, where you think you're going to be at in a year, 2 years, or what you think may happen in your life. I guarantee you will shortchange yourself. Because miracles happen around here, man. And I've never seen so much change, growth in a group of people, you know, and that's even through church, whatever else you want to go to try to get some help. I've never seen people grow and change as much as I've seen in this fellowship. This program is truly, truly awesome, man. It works. You can get clean, find a new way to live, man. Lose a desire and obsession to use drugs and alcohol and find a new way to live, man. Thanks for letting me share.